Friday, Friday. You guys remember that song? It's Friday, May 31st, 2024. It's 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the West Coast. I am Brandon Belize. So this is Success Never Sleeps, where we as a collective, small business owners, particularly martial arts school owners, entrepreneurs, we try to figure out this thing called life. We want to create businesses that we can scale and monetize that are profitable, that take care of ourselves, our families, our teams, and allows us the abundance to give back to the communities that we serve, that ultimately serve us. How do we do that? Many different ways, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, monetarily, in all ways. That, for me, creates a balanced human being. And if I can do that, I'm going to enjoy this ride, highs and lows and everything in between, so much better, so much better. So as you come aboard, say hello. Tell me where you're tuning in from. Super important. Let's begin by thanking our sponsors. Who do we have? Who do we have? We have, Toussaint, Market Muscles, My Studio, Kids Love Life Skills, and LC Accounting. All services that I use actively impact our businesses, and I'm so grateful. I shared it with the group. I just got off a mentoring group, in our group mentoring, and we're at one location well over. We're $150,000 this month. Was it my intent? To a certain degree, I study the KPIs, but it's really about doing good work. When you do good work, everything changes. Hey, what's happening, Larry? What's up, Larry? Good to have you aboard, Larry, sir. Tuning in. As you come aboard, say hi. The name of your school, where you're tuning in from, if you're an instructor at a school, that's all good. I know a lot of people are going to be coming on today that are in the process of probably working a 9-to-5, teaching part-time in the evening, and they want to move from being a day job person, 40 hours a week, to being a full-time martial art school owner. And we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll have that conversation today. But again, thank you to my sponsors who support me and allow me to do what I do. And I think that's crucial. They're all people I have deep relationships with. I love dearly, right? Whether it's Gunny at Toussaint, Two at My Studio, Steven Reinstein at Market Muscles, you know, my group at Kids Love Life Skills, and my sister Letitia. It's super important to me. We're going to go through this thing called life, highs and lows and in-betweens. I want to go through it with people I trust and love. Love, you know, and that's very important for me. So what do we got coming up? It's Time Live Purpose. Before we start running our Facebook ads and advertising that, anybody that comes to it, the regulars on a yearly basis, please book yourself now. Do not wait. Book yourself now. I don't want to be the one to tell you, hey, man, there's no more spots. Make it happen. Get booked now. The four-day experience is really what makes this unique. We spend 4 days, 1 day of training on the mat, because the core curriculum we offer is our core product, correct? So Dave Kovar will be here for that, which I'm super, super proud of. Sunday, all business marketing, because we are in what? The martial arts business. Monday, it's all about you. Mindset, developing you personally. You are the captain of the ship. You're the architect of your business. You always need to be on point. And then Tuesday, Sam Allen comes on virtually for the first part, and we work on wealth building. If you can't create a business that creates wealth for you in your retirement, sends your kids to college, lets you vacation freely and all the rest, you've only created a job for yourself and you're a terrible boss. Hopefully we can mitigate that on that Tuesday. Then we strategize, accountability partners. We eat really good, combination of in nature, in the school. You know, it's not done like Vegas or anything like that. It's a focused learning for 4 days. And I think it's very balanced. It'll offer you the tools and skill set to create your version of success. So what are you going to do? The link's right there. Get signed up for It's Time Live Purpose now. Our It's Time group mentoring. We just got off our group mentoring call. It's truly something special. We're going so deep with the school owners and helping them create their version of success. But it all begins with a mindset. It begins with systems, training a team, marketing, decluttering. There's so many elements. And we do it in such a way that it's not only enjoyable, extremely empowering. There's a link for that. Make sure you check that out as well. So again, as you come aboard, say hello, say hello, say hello. So what are we talking about today? And if you have questions, you know, post them in there. And if the questions are about the subject, fine. If not, that's fine too. So as I do my deep dive in our industry, we know that the majority of our industry is still made up of mom-and-pop businesses, right? It's not the franchises. The franchises in our industry are a very small percent. The majority of our industry is made up of mom-and-pop single school owners. Now, beyond systems, really, because we know 90% of franchises succeed, where 90% of small mom-and-pop businesses fail. The only key difference is systems, number one. Beyond that, the way you run that small business is unique to the 3 to 5 mile radius of the demographic you serve. And I can't express that enough. I believe a lot of the information offered you is a very blanket information, and it doesn't give you the details you need to make your business stand out above all the rest in the communities that you serve. So be mindful about that. What information you take in, and more importantly, what information you utilize and implement into your business to make that happen. Cool? So you probably work 9 to 5. And as I studied, that's more and more of our industry. They're still working a day job because many of them have kids. Many of them have a wife. The majority, a big majority, is not that 25-year-old kid who bought the school from the instructor. You know, we're talking about on your own, not part of an association, a franchise, or anything of that nature. You're working 9 to 5 and you're teaching in the evening a couple hours. Now, the challenge with that, right off the bat, write this down. Part-time effort, part-time results. Part-time effort, part-time results. But I get it. I get it. Salmon said this so well. A paycheck is the death of our culture today. Why? Because you get stuck in that rut. I get my paycheck, my 40 hours a week, certain amount of vacation every year, certain amount of goes into my retirement, blah, 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 blah. That's how I run for 40 years till I retire. So that complacency is the first thing you need to really look at. You really need to look at that, okay? Are you in that place of comfort, right? I got my 9 to 5. It's got medical for me, right? I got a certain amount going in my retirement. I get vacation with pay. So what happens is this martial arts business really becomes an outlet or a hobby. And the scary part, stay with me, is you work this day job where you probably have a supervisor or manager, you know, telling you what to do. There's performance reviews, things of that nature, which is the worker bee mentality. Write that down. Worker bee mentality. The challenge is the worker bee mentality will never be a successful small business owner because that successful small business owner is making decisions worker bees do not. Most worker bees are task-driven. There might be a little bit of critical thinking, a little bit of managing, depending where you sit, but ultimately, you're told what to do. That doesn't work in the world of small business and entrepreneurship. You study information, you study KPIs and all that, but ultimately, you make this decision. You got to do the work as a small business owner. Okay? So I see a lot of people sitting in the eye in the sky. Say hello. Tell me where you're tuning in from. I would love to know that you are here. So here I am, 9 to 5. I go to the school maybe 20, 30 hours a week. The scary part, again, what I experience and see out there is that school fundamentally feeds your pseudo ego, your wannabe, right? Somebody tells me what to do all day long. I step onto this mat and I'm the big kahuna. I'm in control. I get to tell people what to do. So again, that safety net of being in that situation is such a catch-22. And I watch people do it decade after decade after decade. And if that's your version of success, that's okay. That's okay. But make that choice. I know a lot of people that work 9 to 5 for 40 years. They're happy with it because of medical and all the rest, and they teach part-time. But it's the same person you see go to the tournaments on the weekend and they feed you a plate of food and you're a judge and they treat you like you walk on water. It's so dangerous for a growth mindset. It's so dangerous. So if any of that resonates with you, stay with me. Okay? Stay with me on this. Now, 9 to 5, working part-time. How do I make that jump? What skill set do I need to move from being 40-hour workday person, right? Day job person to a full-time business owner. Okay. Number one, You have to make sure that you have the business mindset. It's amazing how many school owners I talk to that go, I didn't expect this. I didn't know that. Or even worse, well, I'll figure out business when I'm doing it every day. That is not a good place to operate from, right? Until I experience, how will I know? Because there's tons of good reading out there that you can read to help shift your mindset and create new habits from being 40-hour week habits to being a small business owner habits. And when a school owner said to me, you and Roland Osborne talk about working 80 hours a week so you don't have to do the 40. How do you teach 80 hours a week? And I went, what? And I recognized in that statement that this person had a skill set. No more, no less. So understand there's a certain skill set to being a great martial artist. It is not the same skill set needed to be a great martial arts instructor. I have many black belts that will never teach for me. Ever, never, ever. Then there's a whole different skill set to being a small business owner and tweaking it to being a successful small business owner. And then beyond that is the skill set to being a great entrepreneur. So when I heard that question, how do you work 80 hours a week, you know, teaching? Teaching is actually the smaller part of it at that point. It really is. What? I'm already teaching 30 hours a week. Yeah. And guess what the other 50 are spent doing? Marketing, potentially hiring and growing a team, right? The whole social media piece, writing the systems for that school, creating an employee handbook. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But believe me, 80 hours are not enough hours in a week. Elon Musk posted the other week. He works 120 hours a week. What? He's a billionaire. It's who he is. He likes the work. He likes it. It's who he is by nature. So that's the big thing, is understand when you move from being a 40-hour a week person to being a small-time business owner, you don't clock in and you don't clock out. It's all the time, 24/7, 365. When my family goes to bed at 10:30, guess who grinds? Me. My work-life balance is important to me. I need to be at my kids' basketball games. I need to be here for family dinner. All those things need to happen. Otherwise, why am I doing this? Right? I don't want to just be a paycheck for somebody. So that's important for me. Cool? All right. So number one, I need to develop the business mindset. These are the books you need to read. Write them down. E-Myth by Michael Gerber, because it'll help you get what every franchise has. Systems. You need systems. Otherwise, you can't grow that business all alone. A personality-driven business fails every time. Every time, every time. No, every time, no, every time. When a professional athlete runs out the clock, they no longer produce revenue. Hopefully, they've taken their money wisely and invested it, which most of them do, right? Same thing with a singer. Once that singer isn't popular or some boy band, guess what? They're either doing, you know, some reunion tour in Vegas trying to generate revenue, which isn't nearly as much as they were making at the height of their career. They can't create systems for that. You can, and I want you to. So read E-Myth by Michael Gerber. I want you to read Good to Great by Jim Collins. Here's why. He was a Stanford business professor, and he wrote this book, Good to Great. And he recognized companies that have been around 20, 30 years, 100 years, companies that have been around past decade, new companies, good economy, bad economy. No matter what happened, these businesses tend to either do this or they do this. They might go a little down, up and down like the stock market, but they consistently performed and were sustainable, and they became legacy businesses. Why? Because they live from a purpose. They live from a why. They live from a set of core values that were manifested into a brand, manifested into brand absolutes, manifested in the systems that they trained people on. Great book. Great book. Great, no, good, no, great book. Good to great. Another one is The Mindset by Carol Dweck. If you don't have the right mindset for business, and we've all heard that, you got to have the mindset for business, or this person has a good mind for business. We've heard variations of that, right? Everybody, put it in the comments if you've heard that before, right? They got the mindset for business. The Mindset by Carol Dweck really simplified it for me and really drove it home that my mindset is so valuable to my existence and, more important, to me taking the actionable steps needed to sustain and grow and maintain my business. Okay, read it. And then the last one, for no particular reason, is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? For me, he said, have a successful business. Okay. Own real estate. Okay, some people will dispel that. Dave Ramsey will say, no, it's not necessary. A lot of people will, but I felt that, at least a home for my family. And that's what I do own. Well, the bank still owns it, but I have a home for my family with over a million plus equity in it. And then third, have a really good portfolio. And I'm often asked that question, why I don't open more martial arts schools at this point, because I create passive revenue through the market. I do that through my consulting and other businesses. There's a million ways to make money. But if somebody came to me and asked me to partner with them and open a school, I would happily do that if you were the right person. Happily, happily, happily. But in another book by Jim Collins, How the Mighty Fall, one of the chapters was the undisciplined pursuit of more. I don't want to just do it to make more money. I want to do it because it genuinely fulfills my why, which is live your best life. So those four books kind of lay the groundwork. And I would highly recommend you take a small business online course or at your local community college. Please do these things first. There are so many people that tell me they own a business and they have no idea what that means, other than they have a lease and they're teaching 30 hours a week somewhere. That's it. That's it. They have no idea of what it means to own a business or grow a business and all the moving parts. Okay? So take that business course. Now, you need to write a business plan. And some of the key elements of a business plan. Number one, you do a demographic study. Wherever you're choosing to open this business, right, do a demographic study and make an intelligent decision that this community, one, needs your services, And number two, you best position your business to communicate that you can fulfill that need. I cannot sell air conditioners in Alaska. You follow me? So it's super important that when you do your demographic study, just like any great business does, Starbucks, Subway, Costco, you know, Trader Joe's, the list goes on and on. They can just randomly open up a business anywhere. If that was the case, you would see a Starbucks in an industrial park, right? With these big warehouse businesses. No, you don't. And there's a reason for that. I'm a huge advocate of location, location, location. I am, absolutely. And again, going back to that, you can't sell air conditioners in Alaska. But a demographic study should let you know, let's say hypothetically, your core demographic is kids, okay? So what would tell me that this is a great place to open for kids? Number one, there's a lot of preschools because those kids will eventually be elementary. Number two, there is a substantial amount of elementary schools. And as they move up in the ranks, middle schools, high schools, that's not really our demographic, is it? If we cater to kids. Okay, great. I want to know what is the average household income? Because if they don't have the disposable income to put into their children for things like martial arts, it doesn't matter. I'm trying to sell air conditioners in Alaska. Next is I want to make sure that the percentage of homes owned in this community are family homes. I am not opening up a school for kids in downtown Manhattan. Doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't do it in downtown San Francisco. No way, right? It doesn't make sense. So those are some of the small indicators that will help you decide if you're going to open in this community or not. The next part of that business plan is a SWOT analysis. This, when I learned this many, many moons ago, what it did for me was powerful, powerful. SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So what are your strengths coming into this? You, your ability to teach and work that school. That's a strength. What's another strength? I don't know, right? What are the opportunities here? Well, there's X number of family homes. They have disposable income. They're in the upper bracket, blah, blah, blah. And 60% of these homes are kids. There's X number of elementary schools, X number of preschools. It fits perfectly, right? So that's so important when I talk about, but what about weaknesses and threats? What are the weaknesses? Well, if I get sick and hurt and can't work, that's a huge threat and a big weakness. That business could be gone like that, okay? But with entrepreneurship, you fly by the seat of your pants and take huge risks. Every day, you take huge risks. But the good news is, not working that 40-hour week job and planning out what kind of raises I'm going to get for 40 years, you can go from zero to $1 million in 3 years. We did that with Milbrae. So that's the neat thing. But so for me, it's not so much what they try to tell you, risk management. It's not. For me, it's risk tolerance. Then I manage the risk. So that's really important. And what I give all my clients, I'm going to give you now. Please tell me you're here. I'd love to know who's tuning in. This is a heavy subject and one that I think is so, so valuable. But one of the big things in business that helps me, stay with me, this is a little deep. You write a circle, and in the middle of the circle is, I want to be a full-time school owner. All the things that come with it are points on the circle, right? Leaving my day job, not having medical. How do I fund this? How many hours a week? What is the skill set I currently have? What is the skill set I'm lacking? What are my resources? But every point on this circle, from the center of that circle, is what? Equal distant. The minute I go, leave my day job, oh my God, I'm going to lose my pension, da-da-da-da-da, and the security, this point never makes it to the edge of the circle. It's rooted in fear. So I want to make sure that all these different choices are of equal value. And the only way I can do that is by eliminating emotion from it. But make no mistake, my business is very personal to me. My brand is very personal to me. And I would never make a poor decision in business and simply say to somebody, it's not personal, it's business. Okay? So you did your SWOT analysis. Now, projection. That's really important. I got to say, well, year one, we project we're going to generate this much revenue. These will be our expenses. Year two, year three, year four. And in that, how do you plan on scaling? How do you plan on getting 100 students? Well, we have this much for Facebook ads, this much money for community events. Friday nights will all be Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, you know, whatever that configuration. Doing the projections really gives you a clear picture. You can't just simply say, and this is, I think, is a huge mistake when people talk about projections. They go, well, in year one, we're going to have 1,000 students. What data do you have to say that's going to happen? Well, I just know it because I believe. Believe don't pay the rent. Believe doesn't put food in your mouth. Believing in your brand is one thing. Being smart business and strategically planning what you want to do is important. I can't simply get in the car and drive. Well, I'm doing it. I'm moving. Yeah, but where are you going? I don't know, but I'm going somewhere. No. We knew in the second location would be at 300 students in 1 year. We hit 285, but we knew where we wanted to go and we came close. So it's the same thing here. Just like when I invest in a startup. You come to me with your numbers and your figures and all that stuff. When the day's done, it's all hypothetical. It really is. It really is. That's why when I invest, I look at the people involved because they're the ones that are going to make or break it, not just a business plan. But the exercise of a business plan plants a lot of good seeds for you from moving from 40-hour a week person to being a real business person. Okay? So those are the highlights of a business plan. And I highly recommend, if you haven't done one, I don't care if you've been in business 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, double back and do a demographic study and a business plan. Do all of it in a business plan. Cool? You have any questions? Hey, James, what's happening, sir? What's happening? Put it in there, please. You got a question, put it in there. If you're here with us, put it in there. I want to know who's hanging out with us today. Because as I shared, you know, the truth of the matter is the majority of our industry is made up of mom and pop business owners. And most of them are still working a day job. When I began going down that rabbit hole, I thought everybody was a full-time martial arts school owner. Simply not true. Okay, getting back to the nuts and bolts. So I'm going to leave this day job. What am I losing? I'll lose vacation with pay. I'll lose clocking out from 9 to 5. Okay, very important. I'll be losing medical. And I'll also be losing the retirement that this company offers me. Okay, I'm losing all those things. All those things will be lost. How do I mitigate some of them? Okay, number one, when I create that business plan, I will factor in how much money I need to make to cover my current existing bills. If you have a mortgage payment, that's not going to change. Whether you work a 40-hour a week job or you own a business, right? A big one is medical. Who's going to cover your medical? Now, if you're married, you might be able to piggyback on your wife's medical if she's working a job, okay? But make no mistake, you need to have medical. It's a law. You have to have medical, right? So when you do that business plan, I want you to write all your personal expenses. And if you want to make more money right now, cut your personal expenses. Go through your apps. Go through your Starbucks spending. Go through all those things, eating out. Cut those expenses as much as you can. As much as you can. So I need to cover my personal expenses for at least 2 years. Stay with me. 2 years. I wouldn't even recommend you open a business unless you had 2 years of personal savings, because there's a huge learning curve going from day job person to being a business owner. Huge learning curve. And don't think because you work a day job and you're teaching 30 hours a week, you're a business person. No, you're not. You're a technician. You're teaching. You're not doing the true 80 hours a week. So I want you to save up 2 years, not one, two. Number two, mitigate that medical expense. And again, if I can do it by piggybacking on my significant other's insurance as their spouse, so be it. But if not, it's by law. Go out there and price medical insurance and work that into your personal budget. You with me? The retirement, you could probably roll over, right? If you have any retirement currently in your other company that you work for, you can roll over into, you know, some type of basic IRA or into some type of SEP account. You know, look those things up. You should, because right away I want you to think profit. And if I'm not taking even a dollar out of my business every month, I'm not going to develop the habit of creating profit in that business. Stay with me. 2 years of personal expenses, including medical. All that's got to be there. Next, I want 2 years of operating expenses. And when you go through that in the business plan and you're doing the projections, what is marketing? What is rent? What is utilities? What is supplies? You know, eventually I have to hire somebody in that 2 year period. What is that going to cost me? I would love you to have 2 years of operating expenses, because if I have 2 years of personal expenses, 2 years of operating expenses, the stress is mitigated tremendously. It doesn't mean I'm going to sit there and, you know, watch reels all day and watch YouTube. No, it means I can methodically make good, balanced decisions in growing my business, because Slow is the new fast. And any great business person, you know, when someone comes to me and goes, I need 10 students right away. Sir, that's a bad business model. What do you mean? I can't make rent this month. That was a bad business model to begin with. So I did my business plan. I've taken the business course right at the local community college. I've read these four books. I have all my money, my resources tight and right. Tight and right. Okay. Now, the one thing I see people do right away is they try to open a dream school. That doesn't happen. Don't do that. Right? If you've never been in business before, understand the minute you go lease a commercial property, they want some type of guarantee. Now, in my case, when I opened San Francisco, I didn't own anything. My sister co-signed that lease, co-signed my lease in San Francisco. That is going to be an issue. It's not like renting an apartment. It's totally different. They want to make sure there's some way you're going to guarantee. You might have to leverage your home. You might have to get a co-signer. Please be prepared for that. Because they know 9 out of 10 small businesses fail. So if I'm a commercial management company, I'm looking for what? Starbucks, Subways, Trader Joe's, brand names, because I know they're more business-minded. There's a better chance of them surviving and being able to afford this rent than you. Mom and pop just starting out business, better than you. Right? So I want to be mindful of that. So hopefully if you're working a day job and you're teaching part-time, that you've already mitigated that, right? So I would recommend no more than 1,400 square feet just to start. Short-term lease, 3 years. I'd go lean and mean. I probably wouldn't even get mirrors. I would make sure I have nice mats, at least jigsaw mats. Why? Because at least, you know, that's the stage. That's where you do the work, man. That's where you sell it. So I want that stage tight and right, right? Go with IKEA cubbies and furniture. Go really lean and mean because you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to burn through a lot of money in those first 3 years. And I want you to be in a position where you're not stressed out because owning a small business is stressful, extremely stressful, right? But your ability to mitigate that, your ability to process stress in a healthy way can help make or break you. Don't take on 10,000 square feet and put, you know, $300,000 into it. That makes no sense. No sense. No sense. Go lean, go mean. Now, here's a big mindset shift, you know, to the school owner that said, how do you work 80 hours a week, right? When you only teach 30, is recognize once you become a full-time business owner, if you want to have a better chance of succeeding, you need to look at that business like a newborn baby. Write that down. My business, if you're under 100 students right now, or even 150, you have a newborn baby. I don't care if you've been in business 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20. You have a newborn baby. Because if, you like that, Marco? Because if I'm serving 100 to 150 people, and I'm in a town, like we have 22,000 in Millbrae, how many millions in San Francisco? You have no impact whatsoever. Not on that scale of reputation and all the way, right? How do you spell what? Newborn baby? What's the question, Michael? How do you spell that? You have no impact. I'm serious as a heartbeat. You have such a small number of students. So when it comes to rebranding that school or moving it or repositioning it, I have no challenge. I don't know how many Starbucks, you could look it up, Marco. How many Starbucks do they close a day, right? Because it didn't work out. It wasn't the best thing. And they do all kinds of demographic studies. They've got some of the best tools and indications to open a Starbucks. How many Starbucks open a day, Marco? And how many close? Find that information for me. But I recognize it's a newborn baby, right? Baby, like baby's kids. So if you think about a newborn baby, for us parents, they don't care if you're tired. They don't care if you're sick. They don't care if you want to do it or don't want to do it. They need to be fed, washed, cleaned, cuddled, taken care of, right? A baby's pretty helpless if you think about it. So if you're willing to have that type of mindset, The potential is unlimited. Unlimited. Typical day, I'd go into the school at 9, teach kickboxing. After that, I would spend 10 o'clock to, I don't know, which wasn't the smartest thing because most people are home between 5 and 8 after all the craziness. So here I'm trying to call back leads, right, between 11 and 12, answering emails and all that, right? Then tidying up the school, starting to teach at 3, teach 3 to 8, clean up the school after, and then go do guerrilla marketing from midnight to about 1. I had a staple gun and flyers would tear off numbers. That's how it was back then. Posting stuff in laundromats, putting things on the windshield of cars. That was my day, 17-hour days, 7 days a week. 7 days a week until I broke $1 million. That was my discipline. So that went on for 7 years, pretty much. Pretty much. There were days I would sleep at the school because I didn't want to spend the $5 on gas to drive home. It was really about functioning lean and mean. There are a lot of top ramen weeks in my life back then. And that was okay. But I knew from being a third generation small business owner what it took. Cutting my teeth in my grandma's restaurants. You know, I couldn't do anything but push a broom because I was too young and clear away plates. I watched my grandma work, bring seven kids over from the Philippines, help them all buy homes. And she did this with these little bitty coffee shops in the Tenderloin. So she taught me a work ethic that was unequaled. But you got to work smart. You got to work right, right? And in her little coffee shops, there's fundamental things. One was prepping food, well, buying food. I used to go to the commissary because my grandpa was military. So we'd go to the commissary. Me and my cousin Jeff with these big shopping carts loading with meat and rice and these different things, eggs, everything we sold in hamburger buns, everything we sold in the coffee shop. Then we'd go back, we learned how to prep. And back then they had no child labor laws or anything, just the way it was. And but my grandma taught me the type of effort that needed to go in. And she did the things that needed to get done. Shop for the food, prep the food, cook the food, serve the food, collect the money, and then rinse, wash, and repeat, wash, rinse, and repeat. So that was every day. So you need to look at this business as a newborn baby. Okay? What is that, Marco? 61 Starbucks closed this year so far. 61 Starbucks have closed this year. So even with all their money and, you know, understanding demographics, and they've closed 61 of them. So it's really important. The first 3 years, short-term lease, small space, run lean and mean. And then once you grow, renegotiate that lease, move to a bigger location, do what you need to do. Open a second location, whatever that might be. The reason I say 1,400 square feet is the standard business model for most small businesses. You know, if you look at something like Little Caesar's Pizza or a Starbucks, they're pretty small. They're pretty small because there's another book by Malcolm Gladwell called The Tipping Point, where that most cultures and businesses tip out at about 100, 150. And if you look at our industry, when it comes to basic franchises, right, they all run with about 100 to 150 students, replicate that 3 to 5 miles down the road, 3 to 5 miles down the road, and they do it again and again. You may not want to go that route and have lots of schools. I preferred 2 big schools. So we're 3,700 square feet, 500 students per location. That's our business model, not the standard one, right? Not standard. The challenge with that, 100, 150, you get to that point and realize, I don't want more schools. Then if you're only on a 3-year lease, you can go bigger. I like a bigger house. I prefer it. We generate more revenue because we can create other revenue streams and be able to fill those revenue streams with people because we have this momentum of 500 students in a location. Cool? All right. Newborn baby, were you with me on that? And then, of course, it's recognizing you are now your own boss. That's a big thing in the mindset shift. Nobody tells me what to do but Uncle Sam, right? And my wife most days. So I now have to move and create a whole different mindset. That's why going from worker bee to being a small business owner, huge, huge mindset jump. Does it happen overnight? No. But I must constantly invest in my learning, invest in myself to do that. Now be mindful. I live by my purpose of live your best life. And in my studies, I took a Disney business course. I also studied with a guy from Nike for close to 6 months, right? And what I learned is that a purpose-driven business has a better chance of being profitable, sustainable, you know, being around decade after decade than just simply numbers-driven KPI systems business. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't need to believe in Starbucks to know that when I order a skinny vanilla latte, it's going to be made a certain way. But you're fundamentally trying to get a community of a 3 to 5 mile radius of your brick and mortar location to do what? Believe. Because if people believe in what you do, they will spend a lot of money, right? That's why culture is such an imperative part of a successful small business. But now it's become so trendy and every wannabe consultant uses it like they, you know, they're throwing out confetti. It's insane. Because if you look at a great company like Apple, Nike, Disney, three that I tend to lean into a lot, their culture is so important to them. So important. And fulfilling their brand promise to the community, so important. It's the same thing here. Same thing here, okay? Because I want people to believe in what I do, not buy into it. Thus is why creating a why should I come to you versus Joe Karate down the street is really important. And then following that up with creating a brand promise that I am dedicated to fulfilling and serving that community. Because the minute you break your brand promise, people no longer trust you. Write that down, because trust is the last true form of marketing. In a world of misinformation and lies and everything that goes on in our culture, trust is really important. And I share this in our group mentoring, in our after-school programs wrapping up for the year, right, until the fall. A first grader wrote me a note and left it there and said, thank you so much for taking care of me. And fundamentally, what they valued most, and they wrote it, is I like that you're a respectful and honest person. That blew my mind. This, how can a first grader get that? Because it's one of the core values that drive these two businesses at One Martial Arts. It's one of our core values, integrity, to do the right thing, right? So cool. It's so, so cool, right? It's so cool. And I want you to be mindful of that. So, we have a few more minutes. I want to open it up to questions. Those of you who are here, tell me who you are, where you're tuning in from. All that would be really, really good. And I hope you take this and share this with everybody out there that's getting ready to buy a school from an instructor or getting ready to go out on their own and do this. Anyone who's working a day job that wants to open up a full-time school. I believe this hour of learning has all the key elements to avoid some of the pitfalls that come with moving from being a 40-hour work person, 40-hour week, full-time job person, to being a true small business owner. Cool? I'm going to take a deep breath. And you start putting in those questions in the comment. While we do that, Marco, flash up It's Time Life purpose. November 9th through 12th. You are your own best investment. And part of recognizing that is investing into the right things. And I believe It's Time Life purpose is simply that. 4 days with me, Dave Kovar, Adam Lodi, and Sam Ahn. And we cover all the different elements it takes to being a successful small business owner. Break that piggy bank. Spend 4 days with me. Sign up today, right now, and put that link in the comment. So what are your questions? What questions do you have for me today? Okay. And if you don't have questions, what are your big takeaways? What are your big takeaways for today's show? What are your big takeaways? I think this might be a first, Marco. We're going to get out of here early. What do you got, folks? Oh, what happened there, Marco? You're getting a little excited there, huh, buddy? What questions you got? No questions? Just kidding. What questions you got, folks? What are your big takeaways? Questions or takeaways? Go for it. And while you figure that out, I'll continue my plight. And so I know that we romanticize being a small business owner. There's nothing else I wouldn't do with my life. There just simply isn't, right? I've been a small business owner since my 20s. And being a third generation small business owner, my grandma owned restaurants. My papa owned his own martial arts school for 50 years in the same location. And then I've owned businesses, you know, I'm 62. So I've owned businesses for over, God, almost 40 years. I love it. I love being able to take nothing and turn it into something. I love taking nothing and turning it into something profitable, even better. But make no mistakes, I failed. I've had a number of businesses that fail. But failure is just part of that process, you guys. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, right? It's just part of the process. Let's see what this question is. I, for one, have taken some of your words and thoughts and will definitely marinate. I like marinate, Larry. I love marinating because the best meats are marinated. The best salads are marinated, right? So I think marinating is a good thing. Other questions? Cool. America was built on the small business owner. And some small businesses go from generation to generation to generation. Now, while that's a good thing on paper, unless I can create a business that works for me at some point, then I've simply created a job for myself. And I'm often not a very good boss to myself. So today I enjoy, I do the architectural work, right? How to grow the company, sustain it, marketing, rewriting systems, curriculum, team training, and all that. But the nuts and bolts work, the day-to-day, is done by a team, which provides me with freedom. And that's entrepreneurship 101. When I can create passive income, when this business is making me money without me having to do the technical work, that's a whole nother show. What I'm asking is if you want to go from being a 40-hour-a-week person working part-time in that martial arts school to being a full-time martial arts school owner or in a partnership or anything of that nature, there are huge learning that needs to happen. And it's a constant learning, make no mistake. But to really, everything I name to you, you know, will help you mitigate. And I say firsthand experience, I'm going to be honest, 90% of that I didn't do. I didn't do when I opened that first school. It was no way, no way. But fortunately, when we opened the second school, that type of learning helped us scale the second location to $1 million in 3 years, where it took 7 years in San Francisco, because there was a lot I didn't know. So the thing is that knowing that I need to learn, constant learning, but taking in the right learning to go from working 40 hours a week teaching part-time to being a full-time business owner needs to happen. And if you're ready to go to school, look us up. Look at our It's Time group mentoring, wisdom, or come out to our It's Time live events. Cool? All right, Marco, let's thank our sponsors. You saw Market Muscles, My Studio, Kids Love Life Skills, and LC Accounting. People I love, all five of these businesses I personally do business with. And the impact they've had on my business, phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Now, at some point, I'm going to have to add Kin Creative in there too for our marketing. But today, those are our sponsors. I have a deep romantic love affair with you, the small business owner, because I am you. It's nostalgic of my grandma. It's nostalgic of my papa. And I continue that legacy today. And I've learned so much from them. I've learned so much from Disney, Nike, these other companies. But most important, I learned much from you. And I have a deeper kinship with you every day. every day because I feel for you. And I believe the information offered you today can truly, truly help you if that is your goal, to become a full-time, successful small business owner. All right? So, hey, I look forward to seeing a lot of you in November at It's Time Life Purpose. I'm going to ask you, subscribe to my YouTube channel. All these episodes of Success Never Sleep are there, plus tons of other learning. Subscribe to our podcast, Success Never Sleeps, on all the major podcast platforms. Follow us at Instagram. Join our disruptor group. For everything else, please go to BrandonBeliso.com. I am Brandon Beliso. This is Success Never Sleeps. Until we talk, I'm going to do the finger thing, Marco. This is Success Never Sleeps. Until we talk again, folks, please go out there and live your best life.